You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
We are live. Let's go.
President's Day.
Bro.
Love every single president.
Wait, pick a country you'd want to be president of. Any country. Go.
Bro, let's go with Angola.
Damn, son. Oh, we went to Angola, bro.
That's it. The first one that came to mind. Wow. Would love to be the president of it.
Wow. I thought you would go DR.
Nah, bro.
You don't want them problems, like bro? Seeing your cousins and
like,
all that?
Like a proper Dominican, I'm out here throwing curveballs. Yeah.
Bro, you know, when I think of Dominicans and where they like to go, just hang out, maybe vacation, Angola comes to mind, dude. It usually leaves my mind right away. But
I got to start with looking up where Angola is exactly. I'm not exactly sure.
Also, kind of a bit of a throwing shade at me as a Guano. There's a lot of history there.
Please expound.
You don't know?
I'm here to learn.
You don't know the history?
Of Cuba or Angola?
Well how Fidel Castro helped Angola because he thought it would piss off not just the Americans, but it would create like a he was just trying to piss off America, bro.
I'm almost sure you have no idea what you're talking about.
I know Fidel helped Angola. I know more than you. You picked Angola. You're the president. You don't even know.
I'm being very clear that I don't know, but you are pretending to know.
Look, dates may escape me, but I know the photos were black and white, if that helps at all. Mike?
What do you know about this?
5th November 1975, Cuba sent combat troops in support of the communist-aligned People's Movement for the Liberation of Angola.
Flat out.
All right. So you're saying Fidel was a hero to
No. Well, yeah, to Angolans, he is.
Okay, all right.
Unless they're anti-communist Angolans.
All right. Alexis is saying Fidel Castro is a hero, and he's here. This show is clear to support everything Fidel has ever done.
You know what? I'm glad that my message is finally gotten out 7 years later. Also, I want to start by apologizing to my mother, who probably is listening for the first time ever and is crying, and she's wondering, why is the president of Angola being so disrespectful to Alexis Guerrero?
Okay, you know, all right. Why are people bowing given that I am president of Angola? This is very
I don't think you know what happens to the president of Angola.
Okay, everybody.
Look, there's a lot of chat. There's a lot of information in the chat. Dennis Higgins said Cuban mercenaries effed up all kinds of S in Angola. And Gavincho just said Che Guevara. Who, again, we boo on this show.
Kirby D just said, clip that. Let's go. Justin Freeper said, producer Mike, ruining the incorrect facts that I come to the Cooligans for.
You know, it is a big part of our show to have incorrect facts.
Right. I mean, there's no reason why we can't have both. You know what I mean? I mean, that's
well, no, but having correct facts negates incorrect facts.
I mean, that's not according to Fox News. No,
well, like again, they, like us, just foregoed correct facts.
You know, they bring on, you know, the token liberal to, you know, look at the crazy thing he's saying. Yeah. Meanwhile, he might be actually, there might be some truth to what they're saying.
Just anyway. Some dude in a tie-dye suit.
You gonna take advice from someone dressed like that?
Huh? Look at this. We told you this is what your kids are gonna do.
Anyway, what's good, everybody?
Ben Skolnick says, producer Mike forgets that we're here for wrong answers only. It's kind of our thing.
I know,
Mike.
Doing too much with the facts, yeah. Bro.
You're gonna have to throw us a couple curves, bro. It can't just be him.
I'll just start listing fake facts and won't tell you guys which ones are the real ones.
We won't know the difference.
We will not know.
Also, you don't even ask me what country I want to be president of, bro.
I didn't expect that. Honestly, it's not really. I know that you will not be a good president of whatever country you say, so that's why I'm not gonna ask.
I think I would be a much better president than you.
Wow.
Much better. Well, who do you think's ready for the bribes? This guy.
Which is that's clearly the sign of a good president.
Bro, watch. Yo, my Angola will be much better than your Angola, bro.
Angola versus Angola?
Yo, it's a real. This is what you came to this show.
We're gonna have
an
Angolan civil war because they cannot decide who the leader should be.
Bro, which side is more lush? That's right. The side I want. Is it north versus south? Is it east versus west?
I think we know who's leading the Angolan insurrection, bro.
Am I in the middle of Angola, like the Berlin Wall? You feel me?
Wow.
You tell me what part of Angola I'm taking over, bro. Also, shouts to the Angolan people who may be listening to this show, dude.
Okay. What are the analytics say? Bro, Angola analytics.
Are we huge in Angola? We should be. We're about to rip your country apart for the purpose of solving this puzzle.
Okay, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, my name is Alexis Guerreros.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
We out here. It is President's Day. It is
President's Day.
That's right. For our non-American listeners, we have a lot of non-American listeners.
Bow down, bro.
To the president of Angola.
On this American President's Day.
It is a
President's of Angola, thank you.
A bank holiday, as you would say, in your country.
But in America, it's a bang holiday.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You better get with it.
We are here to celebrate.
Right.
The only way we know how.
Bro, play that jazz music, Mike. Let's get this going.
So, this is it's a big day. Cars are on sale.
Yo.
Mattresses are people that are
flying out the door, bro.
They're trying to get them out the door.
Yo.
Couches, good deals are available today.
I did the walkthrough. What I would call New York's premier mall, which is Broadway. Broadway is south of Houston.
Broadway.
They got a PacSun now. They got like an Intermissi. It's basically
mall?
A mall. No, the Strip.
The strip. Oh, okay.
It's the Strip, but it's like a lot of...
No, New York has barely any malls. That's why I'm very confused.
Well, I mean, New York City has them, but...
Manhattan.
Does the Manhattan Mall still exist?
Manhattan Mall, it's under... No, it doesn't exist anymore. It's like now I think it's going to become an office space or something.
Because we need more of those. No one's working from home, right? good job, Manhattan Real Estate.
We'll figure it out.
Ben Skolnick said, Alexis's country would absolutely have 10,000 lions and challenge any other country for pure enjoyment. Oh, we'd be playing Risk, bro.
Literally, the general of his army is a lion.
I'd be riding the lion, dude. We'd have an army of all people who disagreed with me. So just know what would happen to you, Christian, when we win.
Gotcha. Okay. So
I would change the name to Blangola, bro.
Wow.
Just for the vibe, you feel me?
Okay. It's a little lit. It's just lit in Alexis Angola. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show.
You did that already.
It is Prem Show. We have to...
Let me guess. You're excited for everything we're going to talk about.
I'm excited for everything. We got a packed show today.
Oh, boy.
Of things I'm excited to discuss.
All things you've never heard on this or any other show.
So... Arsenal back in at the top after faltering for for a bit there for a couple days.
Let me tell you something. First game I went to a pub in a hot minute. I ain't been to a pub in a while. First game back, you know our boy J.F. Harris. Shouts to J.F. Harris,
comedian,
great funny great comedian. Happened to be getting off a boat over at the pier. I said, like, it's a yacht. It's a cruise boat.
He was getting off a boat at the pier.
He was getting off the boat, and I said, y'all find a pub for us to see it. So we went to Jack Doyle's over, like,
he was on vacation or performing?
No, he was performing.
Okay.
So not far from here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Doyle's, and I was like, yo, I'll meet you there. I believe they're open at 7:30. Boy, were they, okay? I wouldn't call it packed, but it was really good.
Sure.
Like, probably the, like... If it Everton is. Were in a final, that
yeah,
level.
The sun is barely out. Yeah, you understand.
It's so funny, too, because I was in the car. I parked the car right across the street because there's no parking at that time, right? No meters. And like a couple tourists were walking by, and they realized the bar was open. And she was English. She was like, oh, my God, the pub is open this early.
Mm.
And she's like, they're just like us. And then a bunch of people.
They also have drinking problems.
And then a bunch of people with Arsenal jerseys walked past her, and she was like, you know, in her head, she's like,
sure.
Did we leave England, dude? Still here? So hang out. What a lucky charm I must be.
Okay.
When I go to a pub, you feel me? Arsenal win. And I even said to JF, I go, bro, we need like a late winner to like, you know what I mean? To turn this like little hump of a season, part of the season around. You know what I mean? I'm like, we can't like just wallop these dudes. We got to like make it a little bit. We got to like turn the corner. You know what I mean? Right. And boom, that's exactly what happened. Right. Shouts to Jorginho, bro. Never once disrespected you. And I suggest we burn all the tapes.
I love Chelsea and everything they provided for the Premier League.
Never have they screwed us with their players. Willian, we just didn't give him enough time, dude.
So, the Aston Villa match against Arsenal was pretty entertaining. After the first half, I think most people were like, oh, here we go again. They were down 2-1, right? If I'm not mistaken, at halftime. And, a few things happened in that match. I think the goal from Zinchenko, not the fact that they simply tied the game up, but the fact that it was him that scored. There was something, I think it brought a...
Zinchenko?
It brought some life to...
I'm going to put you on. That's what we do.
Put me on.
Say it again.
Put me on, bro.
I'm going to put you on. Mike?
Put me on.
Thank you. I got you. I got both of you.
For everybody listening, we are now sitting on Alexis's lap.
Right? I'm going to put you on. but let's get the put me on cam. Here's the thing about Zinchenko. I don't know if you remember the last match that they played Manchester City. Have you seen the clips of him getting kind of bullied a little bit after the game by some of the Manchester City players?
When he was at Man City?
No. When the last time Arsenal played Manchester City?
And wait, this is not the first time Zinchenko has played against Manchester City? It must have been at
This might have been the cup match.
A cup match or something, yeah.
They kind of put their arms around him, and they were like pinching him and stuff, and he was like trying to get them off him. And they kind of bullied him a little bit. They kind of crowded him and hazed him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been the same since then.
Mm.
Since that moment, he has looked completely off. A lot of it is being attributed to, and even for me, about Gabriel Jesus not being there, and it's sort of... You know, Eddie Nketiah and Martinelli don't really link up well. Martinelli's kind of staying in the spaces that, you know, Zinchenko should be running into when he goes central. There's a lot of crowding there, so it's not all that. But he hasn't been the same since that moment. He needed something, especially by way of a goal completely out of nowhere.
Premier League goal.
First career.
Oh, I thought it was first Arsenal goal.
First for Manchester, I believe. First for Manchester City and Arsenal.
Whoa.
That's insane.
He's never scored in the Premier League?
I don't believe
so. Bro, wait a minute. Now who's supposed to be putting who on? don't be putting us on, dude.
Now, Alexis, go sit on Mike's lap.
I know. I'm so sorry, Mike. But you know the rules are the rules. I'd be respectful. I'm the president of Langola, dude.
Yeah, zero career goals for Manchester City.
Wow. Jeez. Impressive, yeah. And look, and you know what? It was a shame because you would have known if that was like the game winner. He would have celebrated a little bit more, but he scored and it was like all business. He wasn't interested in.
Nah, he punches in and punches out. That man brings a briefcase, not a toiletry bag.
My man was wearing the Columbus Crew hard hat. I
know. He shook a couple hands and finished the coffee, dude. Dude, let me tell you something. That man, I've never seen him look so like scared and childlike and nebbishy. Because usually he kind of, you know, he's a little bit of a stiff upper lip kind of a guy. You know, he's not tall, but he doesn't get pushed around. And ever since that moment, man, it felt like his confidence was shook. Bro, came right back. Thank you, Emi Martinez.
Yeah, dude. And then that was probably the biggest. I'll mention quickly Martinelli celebrating before he got the goal in. That was like another. A little bit of, I don't know. I think even Arsenal fans were like, hey, don't celebrate too much, bro.
No, we were all like, just please get it in first. But you know what? I think what people are not talking about, and this is another, you know, Cooligans exclusive. From the president of Blangola. Have some respect. Okay, now that my intro music.
Yeah. this is a new segment, I guess we got.
What did he do? He celebrated by putting his arms out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, it's the Redeemer. Jesus the Redeemer, dude. He's Brazilian. Jesus the Redeemer. Jesus the Redeemer got hit by lightning. Right. And then he did that and scored a goal that he needed. Right. Because he's been playing pretty badly for the last few matches. I think it all fits together. I think you get exactly what I'm saying there.
Okay. Bro,
he wasn't celebrating.
Is Jesus.
No. Gabriel Martinelli.
Martinelli is Jesus.
Gabriel Martinelli put his arms out. He was being Jesus the Redeemer, Christ the Redeemer, the statue of Brazil. He was paying respect to his country. He wasn't celebrating. And dude, You should always pay respect to your country, bro.
I gotta get. I have a photo of me at the Christ Redeemer.
What does that have to do with Martinelli?
I'm just saying because it, this. I wish I would have known that you would have said that because I would have pulled up the picture and then we would have had a great moment. So everybody, just imagine a picture of me next to the Christ the Redeemer statue,
regardless of what age he was. Just imagine a 12-year-old, a very thin 12-year-old, because that's what you look like up until about 3 years ago.
Sure. Well, I actually TikTok. I'll post this somewhere else, but TikTok just released a teenage face filter to make you look like a teenager.
And what does it put a binky in your mouth,
bro? So you see your normal face, and then so you can compare your teenage face and bro, there is really no difference.
No,
it's a slight. It looks like I'm wearing blush. That's what mine looks like.
But I bet you mine is. Wild.
We got to do yours, and we'll post it. So everybody, follow us on TikTok to see that. Okay. So
people are saying that Justin Rubrick said I'm going to pull off my Yankee hat and reveal the tinfoil cap I'm wearing underneath. I'm just saying he was respecting Christ the Redeemer.
Duck
he wasn't celebrating, so we need to get off him.
Duck in the chat just said, how dare Christian bring his own life experiences into this conversation?
Hey, bro, it's about time, Duck. You realize.
No, we need false facts,
yes!
Bro. Not actual truths about your life.
Send me on a goose chase with information, bro.
Emmy Martinez, the goal from it was an own goal from Emmy Martinez, but Jorginho, absolute crack of a shot. It hits the crossbar.
Hits the back of his head.
It hits the back of Emmy Martinez's head.
I believe
head.
It hit the post, not the crossbar. I think it hit the post.
It went down, so it had to hit the crossbar.
Not necessarily.
So you're saying that there's a way that a ball can go directly downwards, hitting a post that's on the right side.
You ain't got a Zapruder film.
No, we just have the Premier League broadcast coverage. Okay, it hit the crossbar.
It went down. It hit the back, but perfectly. Perfect. He was heading it backwards into the goal, which is. Absolutely. I mean, that's the part that should embarrass you if you're Unai Emery, not that Emi Martinez ran up on that corner to score.
Yeah, I mean, Aston Villa, they whether you lose by one goal or two goals, it's not...
It does depend,
but where Aston Villa are, I can understand them wanting a point more than worrying about their goal differential. So, I think overall, look, the goals from Aston Villa were... beautiful. The goal from Ollie Watkins and the goal from Coutinho were both absolutely spectacular. And I thought it was going to really hurt the spirit of the Arsenal players.
But more importantly, I thought it was just going to continue to compound sort of the non-elite run of form that Saliba has had. I don't want to say he's looked bad, but Gabriel Magalhaes has kind of had to cover him, cover for him a little bit. One-on-one, you're supposed to be the Rolls Royce of a defender. You know what I mean? And you let this dude... kind of juke you a little bit.
But I think the issue, I mean, look, Ollie Watkins is also very fast and very skilled.
Also
so
very
I'm not
going
to take anything away from him. That was a great, great goal.
But you should be able to, and by the way, that shook him a little bit because if you notice, there was another opportunity Ollie Watkins had and Saliba was like, you ain't going nowhere, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got nothing. And Saliba locked it down after that. Right. So as far as I'm concerned, it was this was the shakeup needed across the board. For everyone.
It seems to me that the biggest difference and the poor run of form is obviously not having Thomas Partey.
But Jorginho was the player of the game for me.
Well, but it does feel like that a good partner for Saliba is Partey. Do you know what I mean? Like Saliba
Partey
seemed to be better.
Yeah, 100%.
Seemed to be better with Partey there. And without him, then this is when you're seeing Arsenal just give up some goals. And then also, what was the possession? The possession in this game for Arsenal, I'm pulling it up right now, was they had like 67% of the ball. Like, but this is the last few weeks when Arsenal have not been winning games, this is what it's looked like, where they have a lot of possession, but they're not creating big chances. And in this...
The issue is Eddie Nketiah is not finding those goals anymore. We talked a couple weeks ago about whether he becomes... the starter and Gabriel Jesus maybe has to play his way back in. Nah, fam, you good.
Yeah.
As soon as you get a couple stretches in, my guy, you win the starter lineup. Gabriel Jesus, bro.
But no.
Maybe that's what Gabriel Martinelli was doing when he put his arms out. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, but he was saying, Gabriel Jesus, we need you.
Damn, bro. I didn't know you was out here spitting bars, dog. But, okay, so it was a big win, but I wanted to just speak for a moment about the loss against Manchester City midweek. Because
who
lost? Arsenal lost.
No, what? No.
That was a...
something we don't need to talk about because we up now. Is that what you mean?
It's odd how Manchester City win that game fairly convincingly and then go to... Who did they play?
They played a stinker, bro. Didn't they draw?
They played...
Nottingham Forest.
And they... but so
Chris Wood scored against you, bro.
That
wasn't in your plans.
Bernardo Silva scored a great goal.
Yeah, he did.
But the did you see the miss from Erling Haaland?
Yes,
bro. Yeah, I've never seen it.
Someone asked me who I think. You said that Marcus Rashford is the best player in the Premier League.
Yes,
and I think he's in the best form. I still think Erling Haaland is the best player in the Premier League.
Okay.
He's got the goal tally already. He's hitting a bit of dip of form, a little bit. They're bodying him quite a bit. And also, you know, you're going to have a dip your first season in the Premier League. And I was ready to walk in here and tell you that. And then I saw that miss, and I was like, maybe I'll hold on to that for like one more week.
I don't seem that crazy, right? Man, Rashford got a brace.
No, Rashford's incredible. You know what the difference is. Or you know what's going to happen now? Remember Marcus Rashford? We talked about this. He went to the LeBron facility in his time off, and he worked there, and they kind of figured out like two or three things. Like he was being over-massaged. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which no such thing existed. Bowling,
I like to like touch my body at all times.
I want you to just consistently be massaging me, bro. It's too much when I say it's too much, and I'll never say it's too much.
I'm the president of Blangola.
In fact, you're all banned from going to the LeBron facility for false information, bro. They said that his muscles weren't being allowed to heal correctly, like the lactic acid wasn't being allowed to settle. Right. And they found out that there was something wrong with his running gait. There was something wrong where he was taking like 0.4 seconds. Whatever work happened there, look at the confidence this man has come back with.
Did Jadon Sancho also go there? Because, bro, he's another one.
Jadon Sancho was good. In fact, all of Arsenal, I'm inviting you to the LeBron facility.
Everybody, you better start balding like LeBron right now.
Bro.
Because we need whatever he's doing.
The LeBron exercise scientific and hair plug facility.
I would love to see a sketch of just LeBron and like, you know, Olivia Newton-John. You know, the unitard. You know what I mean?
No,
the doing aerobic exercises.
What does that have to do with
it? I'm just saying because that's the LeBron.
Stop letting us into your Pornhub searches.
That's my brain when I think of the LeBron like exercise school.
That's what you went to?
I'm sorry. I love comedy, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, what a good thing about comedy is 55-year-old references. People really seem to attach themselves to that.
People know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, Olivia Newton.
Rustin Power. Rustin Power, Olivia Newton-John. Lost her earlier this year.
Damn, bro. You talking about the dead like that?
What, praising them? Sorry, my bad.
Not in my country. Not in my country, bro.
Everyone's alive forever in my country.
Bro, we whisper about the devil where I'm from.
So, but yeah, a really, really ridiculous miss from Erling Haaland. That really was wild. Where he couldn't believe what he had just done.
He thought someone spiked the ball or something. He was like, something with the ball.
If you haven't seen this play, I mean, he is inside the 6-yard box. With a completely open net. Obviously, it's like a bit of a,
a little bit of a scramble.
A scramble. Everybody's just, you know,
he kind of turns, right?
Yeah. But there's no excuse. He had to just tap that in, but he rockets it over the bar.
This reminds me of the Odegaard miss.
Right. That was a really, really bad one.
That was the moment season is...
I mean, I know they're both Norwegian, but so they had some pact over the weekend.
Isn't it crazy that they're both the best players in the league? two guys from Norway?
Happens to be. But the Odegaard miss...
was the moment where I thought, man, the collapse of the season may be a little bit longer.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Like,
they're really
very unorthodox from him because he almost never makes mistakes.
He didn't have to do anything. He just had to put his right foot out, but he used his left foot.
He used the lefty, bro.
And I was just like, what what is he doing? And the mood in that pub just went like, yeah, like it just really took it.
I have his card in FIFA Ultimate Team. He was the player of the month in the Premier League. So you get like this beefed up sort of player Ultimate Team. The man has no right foot in the game.
No.
It's just useless.
There's no need for it.
He'll always, you try to shoot with your right, and he'll do an outside of the boot with his left.
Yeah. There's no need for it. Get rid of his right foot.
He doesn't need it.
Right?
Even EA is like, yo, we know, bro.
Almost didn't digitize it, dude. That's how little you use it,
We were seriously considering giving you a peg leg.
Yeah, bro, we was going to give you the baluster from an arm rail. In an old pre-war building, which is what those peg legs were. Did you know that?
They were what? Artillery?
They were pieces of a ship, or they would sometimes get it from the arm rails. Like those old...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Things like that. Things like where that ballasts was whatever.
All right. Well, you know.
Dude, more facts,
We've upgraded a little bit.
President's Day, bro. All
right. We're out here 3D printing legs now, dog.
We updated, bro. No more need for termites to be a real issue.
But a shock from, I think, for a lot of people, from Manchester City to, they would have had they would have been tied again on points, right? But they would have been leading on goal differential.
It almost nullifies their win, really.
Without a doubt.
That also now means that it still looks like, because we're only 2 points ahead, if you're an Arsenal supporter like me, you say we. We're only 2 points ahead. We have a game in hand, but that game in hand is against them. So...
Yeah, that's going to be a really, really title defining.
I think that's it. I think that's the title game, to be completely honest with you. But I think it's April 24th, if I'm not mistaken.
Because when Manchester City won in midweek, Manchester City fans were obviously, the banter was wild on the internet. Mm-hmm. The Manchester United fans, I saw everybody. I saw Flex. I saw KG. Oh. I saw everybody. They were all making jokes about Arsenal, slipping up.
They love it.
They love it. And but no, it is. It's. I think the concern here, it isn't.
You know who was messaging me talking shit? Adam McCullough, bro.
Wow.
Out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere.
Damn.
Bro.
I haven't heard from this man in 82 years.
Yo, not since I took over my section of Angola have I heard. Bro, this man out of nowhere starts messaging me. Big game today, and I think it's that like little fear that I think they're trying to play on this little fear that like, yo, could Arsenal continue to slip up and somehow Manchester United finish in second place and we're in third?
Right.
Which, mathematically could have happened. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, thank God. But bro, I don't know where starts messaging me. And then all I sent him was a picture of Carlo Ancelotti smoking a cigar at the Madrid parade. I sent him that photo. As soon as the third goal went in, bam, hold that. And he goes, big win, stop messaging. So I guess I'll hear from you again in a few weeks or possibly next season.
Seems to be only a one-way conversation.
Wow.
When you're happy about Arsenal failing.
So anyway. As soon as Ten Hag slips up, my G, I will be back in your DMs, my guy.
So, look.
It's not March 1st, by the way. I looked it up. It's April 26th.
I know the
game in hand is the one against Everton, technically, but really, we had to play Manchester City twice because that game got moved.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the chat because I'm assuming Alexis doesn't know what he's talking about, but whatever.
Bro, you're going to the front lines. You keep talking this way, bro.
Okay,
Operation Human Shield is back in effect.
Look, Robin Tagini in the chat just said, great, now I've got Let's Get Physical in my head. Thanks, Christian. Obviously, the Olivia Newton-John classic.
Well, okay, listen. someone else said a nice cold brew. So the chat has spoken. Two people know what you're talking about. Isn't she the lady from Greece?
Olivia
Newton-John. Yeah, she's the main character in Greece.
Yeah, never saw Greece, but I knew that. I saw clips of it. I saw the beginning where they just start singing out of nowhere.
You don't like musicals.
Yeah, it's a musical. I was going to say it's a musical.
Are they going to do the? You could have talked. We didn't need the music.
You didn't. You need more mafia characters in Greece for Alexis to pay attention to it.
If a mafia character comes out and he starts, I'm done. I'm not watching this.
So,
but really, the way he treated her was a crime. So it is a crime film. Am I right? Okay. I don't know what happened.
Well,
no, they end up
doesn't
together.
Doesn't he like disrespect her? A little bit. Pretends he doesn't know her because she's not.
But they
cool.
end up. They end up together in the end.
Yeah, because she gets a beautiful story. Yeah. Then they ride their car off into the sunset. It was very nice.
But what he was mad. He was like mean to her because he thought she was a nerd, right? Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's life is like that, okay? I was a that's nerd that was ignored for a long time, okay? Yeah. So I understand how it works, all
right? But that's what it was, right? I don't know.
Anyway.
Ben Skolnick said, education in Angola is going to be top notch. Alexis at the top.
So the last point I was going to make is that a lot of people are concerned that Arsenal are going to slip up, but I really feel like the concern here is with Manchester City. I think Manchester City are more likely to slip up than Arsenal are, because even the stories about you're hearing
there's
about,
more drop points coming out of City than Arsenal.
I think so,
for sure.
Because Phil Foden is apparently upset he's not getting starts, but man, Mahrez is now starting.
The Twitter kind of going crazy on Phil Foden, bro.
Because
they're saying he's like looks good, and then people want to start him, and then he looks like ish, and then he looks good, and then people want to start him, and then he looks like crap. I mean, maybe it's because of where he's playing, but he hasn't looked consistent enough to garner those starts. But he looks really good coming off the bench. So is he a super sub?
But when Manchester City are dropping points, is that a sign that Riyad Mahrez is not doing well enough to deserve that start? That's, I think, the point people are making. Well, but it's a tight race. I mean, if City end up winning, it's going to look like Pep did everything right and he made all the right decisions, but they come in second, they'd be like, oh, okay, this guy, is he slipping? He doesn't know what's going on.
And, I mean, this is all of...
Yeah, and those margins are that close, but the criticism is very, very on both ends of that spectrum. So that's...
What do you think the case is?
As far as Pep and his ability
to... Do you think he's over-tinkering? Would you say that?
No, because when you see a miss like that Erling Haaland has... you're not going to get a clean sheet every game, and Manchester City should be scoring more than one goal given the quality roster that they have. So, no, I don't think this is a reflection on Pep. This is a reflection on Erling Haaland to make a terribly and painfully simple goal, and Manchester City will be leading in the Premier League right now, but they are currently not.
Also, they've got, don't forget, Manchester City also is still in the FA Cup. They're still in the Champions League. They're going to be really stretched. So making those decisions is going to be real key for them. Not for us.
Okay. So Alexis is...
Bring on the lead.
the only other... couple other games to go over.
Well, I mean, probably we should talk a little bit about, you know, just how do you like to let loose? You know, how do you like to unwind? I'll tell you how I do. Because
how do you unwind in Blangola, Alexis? Let me know.
I'll tell you exactly how you unwind. You just sit back, you kick back, and you go to a can of beautiful, refreshing, cold Coors Light. And how do you know it's cold, Christian?
Well, because when you look at it, the mountains of Angola are right there.
You think that's what it is? And not the Rocky Mountains that they talk a lot about on their commercials?
I don't know. I'm just saying. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't say on the you know, it doesn't say a letter or name or anything like that.
It doesn't specify.
That's specified. So, you know, let's just assume.
Right. It's President's Day. It's our day. We can do whatever we want here.
Okay. We are the president. So, no, it's...
But we're working on President's Day. But afterwards, when we're gonna let loose on these couches, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm going to put y'all on.
That's right. You know whose lap I'm sitting on.
Bro, get on here and relax and hand me a cold Coors Light, because it's time to kick back. It's time to relax, you know? There's so much stuff going on, but when I want to chill, I grab the beer that's made to chill.
That's the move. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It is literally made to chill.
The little mountains turn blue to tell you, hey, buddy, why don't you relax a little bit and open this up?
Dude, as soon as you go, it whispers to you, hey, buddy.
In fact, that's what it is. It's beer talk for, go ahead, buddy. You earned this.
Okay. It's like a sonnet in your ear. Ooh, absolutely beautiful.
What a concerto we're all listening to when we open this can.
Mark your calendar for quality time with Coors Light, the beer that is made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's right. That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. Okay. Everton Football Club play against Leeds in a...
Nice Cole Bruce said, Bizreal is nice this time of year. For all of you listening for the first time, there's really no way to explain what happens on this show. Just buckle up.
That's right. Yeah. Look, the glossary for the Cooligan show is like 4,000 pages at this point.
And Justin Freeberg said, seamless ad retransition from the presidents of Bangalore.
Okay. Everton and Leeds play each other in a very, very important match.
For who?
For those of the you, teams who do not want to get relegated.
For you bottom feeders, bro. Gem pop down there, bro. Why are we even talking about it? It made me feel... I need a shower just talking about these two teams playing
each
other.
Nah, bro. Because look, Seamus Coleman out here coming for your golden boot in the Premier League, bro. All right. Seamus Coleman scores a... it's a spectacular goal with... spectacularly poor goalkeeping.
It was
from Mezier.
Amazing.
And the so it's a 1-0 victory for Everton, taking them out of the relegation zone and putting Leeds in there
firmly.
They are 19th place with 19 points. I hear rumors. I saw Fabrizio Romano mention that there is a manager. I believe that I forgot the manager's name. Somebody from Spain. Looking at it here.
Javi Garcia,
to replace Jesse Marsh at Leeds. Leeds, this game in particular, you know, it is at Goodison Park. I honestly thought Leeds were probably going to win this game. Everton still, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is injured, and is realistically is looking like the only forward that knows how to do the job of forwarding. Okay. Yeah. There's no one else.
You don't trust Maupay?
I mean, nobody even looks competent enough to do it. I mean, it's not even, I'm not even attacking anybody. It's just like, when you look at the way.
It's clearly ain't your gig. You're
Sean,
saying.
The way Sean Dyche wants them to play, meaning with like a target striker to just kind of hold up the ball.
Who was the kid they brought up?
Sims.
Ellis or something?
Ellis Sims. And he looked. In the previous game, which was against Arsenal, I believe, right?
He looked completely lost.
He looked completely lost. And it's just...
And not lost in a way like he doesn't know how to do it, in a way that I don't think he realized how much of a step up.
Right, right.
You know, that he looked like he was like looking over at the sideline, like, what am I supposed to do?
Couldn't control the ball, take proper touches.
And I don't want to say like he's a bad player, but he just looked out of his depth.
Right, and he came into this game later in the game,
81st minute,
and looked a little bit better. But yeah, Maupay looked okay as well. But it's just the style of play is built for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and just again winning aerial ball. He just wins almost every aerial ball.
He's not back until early March, though. What are you going to do until then?
Lose, bro. Lose a lot of games, probably.
You didn't lose this one, though. This is a big win.
No, it's a huge, huge win. And look, there was a lot of heart in this one. I think even from Leeds, you saw Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie get into it. They look like they're going to have a fight with McNeil.
Bro, they're not taking nothing.
Right.
Somebody said, yo, Tyler Adams is, you know where I'm from, dogging right now, which is kind of nice.
No, Tyler Adams has quickly adapted to the...
McKennie says he loves it, too. You heard McKennie's response, comment. He goes, oh, dude, people are coming in, sliding hard, very rough. You're getting in people's faces. This is what I wanted from the Premier League.
Right.
Bro, they got them dogs in them, bro.
But they...
you know what? Weston McKennie, the general of Blangola. How about that?
Somebody in the chat. Duck in the chat just said, Brendan Aaronson is championship level. He's playing with Leeds U21 team today. Yeah, oh, interesting.
That's been rough.
So, Brendan Aaronson...
He's not championship level.
I don't think he's championship level, but again...
You mentioned something that I think is very important.
Which is?
His physicality.
Yeah. Last week, I was talking about it. And it happened again...
How do you never remember?
I just didn't know what you were specifically going to mention. Oh. It happened again against Everton. He's getting just bullied off the ball. Again, you see it enough in a Premier League match, and you're like, all right. Thumbs up. I mean, you're not doing deadlifts. You got to ask some questions.
The truth
questions.
Is, this is a Premier, which it shouldn't be. Premier League should be beyond this, but this is a tactic. You're seeing it against Saka. Zinchenko came out and said, I got to tell the officials, listen, he's getting kicked. We got to protect him. You know, bigger names get protected. Saka is getting treated at that same way. It's a common practice for a lot of teams to say, like, we don't have an answer, let's beat this guy up a little bit.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Brendan Aaronson, it's not even about not having an answer. It's like, well, we know this works. So
right.
Just slap him around a little bit.
Do that until it stops working. And that's but look,
it's a hack-a-shack, bro.
He didn't start the game. But the Elite just, they're missing, I think, again, because Rodrigo's injured. And I keep mentioning this, like losing Rafinha, they just didn't replace them with any strong attacking options. And the guy, Nanto.
Yeah. Really Nanto.
Nanto, he's just not good. I mean, it's just like...
He is, but he's an individual player. That's your biggest problem with him.
It doesn't fit. Like, this is the same thing I was like saying about... like.
But don't you realize, though, when he gets the ball, something electric can happen? He's a Sam Maximan guy.
He's a... Same thing, Damari Gray. But yeah. He's like, they're like... They make... kind of poor decisions.
You're a big team guy.
I'm a big team guy.
Yo, we've been saying this for years, bro.
I'm like, if it hurts the collective, then to me, it's not worth it. So,
and I'm like, go out there and shine, my
you're a star, okay? This team will be nothing without you.
Don't look at your teammates as coworkers. Look at them as being in your way.
Okay? That's not Sally from accounting. That's an obstacle.
We should just shorten it to ops. They're your ops, bro. Now get out there and let me see you shine, my G.
So that's what it feels like. Look, I don't know if you've seen... you know, look, we're very protective, especially of the Leeds players. You know,
of the Americans.
Yeah, when you talk about Tyler Adams, you talk about Weston McKennie. Yeah, I know Everton was playing them and whatever, but I still want them to like do well and shine. But then the target seems to be Jack Harrison. A lot of Leeds fans seem to be upset. I've seen some tweets being like, if Jack Harrison never wears a Leeds shirt again, I'll be happy. And stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, bro, okay. No, things are going all right. Because the problem with Leeds is not Jack Harrison Okay?
No, there's a lot more there. You got to give Bamford a little time to just settle in here.
He's had a lot of time. And
not a lot.
He's had a fair amount of time. He had bad injury.
Bro, when he came back from injury, all of a sudden there's a Puerto Rican dude standing there telling him what to do. You know how difficult that is?
So it's a look. I think there's a lot of demand, especially on Jack Harrison. Jack Harrison had like two free kicks that like went nowhere, and people were upset about it.
Right.
But I think that's probably the biggest concern for me at Leeds, that Jack Harrison is not scoring like he was last year or the last 2 years. When he got there, he scored the first goal for Leeds in 11, 12 years since they had been in the Premier League. He was just...
I think it was 16 years.
Tell me that, right? And he looked great, and he was like adapting really well with Bielsa and everything.
Remember we talked about that if they stay up, they had the contract that they had to purchase him off that loan. I believe it was 10 million.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Or 8 million, whatever it was. They had to purchase him. And we talked about, like, oh, you could be kind of stuck with him if you don't want him. But as soon as they got in the Premier League, we're like, oh, this guy's a steal for this value.
It was a great deal. Jamal in the chat just said, Jack Harrison is just run and inshallah. I love that. Alhamdulillah. All right. Yeah, Let's go.
Wow, bro. He's like, you just go up there and you do some haram, my G. Harrison is average, bro. He played for the England national team, by the way.
He hasn't, not the senior team. He's played for the U21s or something like that.
So, he hasn't played for the American team, dude.
I think Jack Harrison has taken a little bit of a step back. I don't really think it's like his fault. I think just the changes at Leeds have made him less, maybe less effective. Maybe he's not playing.
Also, the system they're playing it's left up to him to be like the creative midfielder and a bit of a forward.
Yeah, so that's
it's too much.
They're not getting the goal production from the players that they were getting it from last year. So that's my, big concern for Leeds. I still think they'll stay up, and I still think they'll figure it out. Maybe a new manager will help settle things down, because Leeds don't really look terrible. They're just not getting the goals that they were getting. But like, look, Southampton, and even though Southampton won, right? We have to talk about Southampton beating Chelsea. They got the goal from James Ward-Prowse on the free kick, which he did the same exact thing to Everton a couple weeks prior. This is Southampton.
I gotta correct you. You don't pronounce the H. Because if you do, th is the T and the H. So you've already use okay. the H.
You're gonna be what, like Jamal, bro? What are you doing?
No, no, it's not even about their dumb language that they don't pronounce half the stuff.
Southampton.
Yeah, you use the H already. If you go if not, you have to say Southampton, which does make sense.
I'm gonna go Southampton.
You know what? Acceptable.
I can't find your president. We'll just have fun with it, okay? But so that's another conversation with Chelsea. And we got a Chelsea fan here. Producer Mike is
right. We've requested he leave when we talk about this, but he refuses to.
But they are a team in it looks like some disarray. Then, bro, they can't really figure anything out.
Bro, how did they break Graham Potter? What happened, bro? Remember how
like, he needs a teenage filter, bro.
I got an idea, bro. Graham Potter gets sacked by Chelsea, becomes the England national team manager.
Well, they currently have a manager.
Yeah, but people want Southgate gone.
And so what? You do poorly at a job, and you're like, all right, you're ready for England, buddy.
Work for Southgate. He got Middlesbrough relegated.
But he's had a pretty good resume, and you know,
because of the England job. So go ahead, Graham, build up that resume, bro. Get to the top of LinkedIn.
I don't think people have that much faith in.
Bro,
Potter
he's a
right
good
now.
Manager. It's Chelsea, Tomboli, but. $380 million, and I think what he's got, two goals?
Two goals.
There was something about...
Mudryk.
Mudryk.
How about
the
that guy's career,
bro? Did you see that stat?
He broke the record for what? Most non-interactions or something crazy?
I don't know if it was like not completed passes.
I believe it was 0 for 15 on something like no completed passes or dribbles or something like that.
It's like, bro, you're out here literally, you know, we're talking about Jack Harrison. It's like, this is poor... Poor play, poor form.
I'm pulling it up to see if I can find it. It was a rough stat. When I saw the screen cap of it in WhatsApp, I was like, oh, they are cooking this dude. But it's just facts. Mudryk has lost possession 20 times within the 40 minutes he's featured after coming on as a sub. The most ever achieved by a second half substitute. A new Premier League record has been set.
Yeah.
Diablo.
I think the transfer window strategy that, you know, I think it kind of highlights that having a lot of money, having a rich owner that's willing to spend on players is not necessarily the best way to find success in any particular league. You can bring in a lot of good players
too much of a hurdle.
I think it's look, Christian team guy Polanco over
right here.
You know, chemistry is really important. And the decision to not to say that Aubameyang deserved to be on the Champions League roster, but, you know, when, as soon as you start being like, all right, you're not good enough to even, you know, you're not in a good enough form to even be playing on the Champions League, even though we did everything we could in the summer to bring you here, we're not going to have you on the Champions League roster. I think there's just a...
He ain't good enough.
Fine, but I just think there's such a poor morale at Chelsea that the players, they don't seem to be excited or happy to be playing for that club
moment. This is what happens when your club is in disarray. And also, they don't even have a scouting department. They were just reading the paper and saying, what's Arsenal doing? We'll go get them. Dude, João Félix is going to have their goal of the month because he's the only player who scored a goal this month.
Right. It didn't help that he also got that red card in his first game.
Bro, he peaced out. He was like, I'm here for a vacay, bro.
Chelsea should be able to figure it out because you look at the players on paper. This is, it makes no sense that they can't make sense of it. It's just the players are too good. But they are being neutralized by other teams a little too easily. And then the injury.
The injuries are stacking up little bit.
Well, to Azpilicueta, did you see
he was
kick
unconscious,
to the face that he got?
Thank God he resumed consciousness when he was, I think he went after he left the pitch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did see
he gave a thumbs up or like he clapped the crowd or something.
Yeah, yeah. So I did see he was going to be all right, but it's just another thing that Chelsea do not need right now. So, they got a lot to figure out. Okay. Kevincho in the chat just said Enzo just wasted his career. And look, Kevincho's very, you know, focused on what Argentinian players are and at
he
every single club.
He cares about only Argentinian things, which is why he brought up a murderer chicken. Don't forget I'm Cuban, bro, and I run this goddamn podcast, bro.
But yeah.
We're going to get emails, bro. Whatever.
I mean, The movie was great. It made him look really good.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
Where was Ana de Armas when we needed her, bro?
So, look, again, I've said this for several weeks, but Chelsea are the Nottingham Forest, who we thought Nottingham Forest have 40 new signings, and we thought, like, how are they going to find any kind of chemistry? But it looks like Chelsea are dealing with that exact thing.
You heard they set up a revolving door to their dressing room.
Okay.
Do you think Chelsea, I mean, they're in 10th place. It's not like they're really, like, quote, going anywhere. Although this is hilarious. The two players that turned down Arsenal, Mudryk, or I guess he didn't turn him down, right, but didn't come to Arsenal, Mudryk and Vlahovic, both in 10th place.
Well, look, Mudryk clearly...
Hold that!
Mudryk was like, I think he's an Arsenal spy, bro. He's out there. He's yeah, let me just destroy Chelsea so I can help my team.
But you should have went to City then. Help us out.
But Chelsea did lose in the Champions League against Dortmund. If you didn't, that goal, if people didn't see that goal from Adeyemi, I believe.
Adeyemi.
Where he said he eat fufu?
Right. He ran 4,000 miles per hour and then scored a great goal. But and then that was who was it? It was Nico Cantor that asked him about, like, how do you prepare? Or is there
was
a
it pre-game? Nico Cantor?
Yeah. Asked him what he did to prepare to, like, play so well, and he goes, he was like, oh, is there a meal or something? He goes, fufu.
He goes, I think it's more genetics from my dad, but I eat fufu. Have you ever had fufu?
I've never had fufu.
The answer is you have.
I have had.
You have had it. You've had it a lot.
Oh, okay. So what, like in a Dominican dish?
Bro, Latinos eat it.
What is it?
It's mofongo, mangu, the whole nine.
It's the same thing?
It's fufu, bro.
Bro.
The only problem is they use something.
It looks different. I saw a photo of it.
Oh, no, it is.
Yeah.
But pounded like... you know, let's just guess pounded, bro. let's just say pounded, dude. No, like they use something closer to like a cassava.
Right.
So it's like a very heavy. I mean, I've had actual like West African fufu,
mm-hmm.
And bro, let me tell you something. You need like 6-ply toilet paper afterwards. That stays in you for a hot minute. It don't want to go anywhere. It holds on to your inner walls.
Because I did see a lot of people replying to that clip.
Nico Cantor's stomach is not prepared for this.
And they were saying, like, you do not eat that before a game.
No. I can't imagine anyone would. I mean, first of all, it's such a heavy dish. Purposefully, like, it's supposed to be like you could go work in a farm for a whole day after eating fufu.
Okay.
It's pretty heavy. The same way, like, mofongo and mangu is heavy. You know what I mean? But we use fried plantains, so it's not as heavy. You know what I mean? It doesn't weigh you down as much.
Okay, I'm gonna look it up because I mean, some people.
Hold on, did you see what the second thing said?
What?
Look, type fufu again. See what pops up. Fufu cubano.
Fufu cubano.
What I tell you, bro? We eat this food, fam.
Okay. Yeah.
Green plantain mash. It's basically mofongo.
But so in the chat, Jamal saying fufu is cassava, pounded yam.
What did I tell you? Cassava.
It is. But it,
bro, we all the same, bro.
So, but why?
See, Angola, nothing to be worried about, bro.
You got very familiar dishes.
Okay.
But I saw the tweets were also mentioning that obviously Adeyemi is Nigerian and he was saying and he mentioned fufu and then people were like, nah.
Oh, the whole Ghana,
they're just like, bro,
thing,
you
bro.
Can't claim. I'm like, look, I don't want to get in between.
Yeah. How about this? Give us both.
Okay. I am just the innocent president of Angola. I have no, you know, no. I don't know. I don't
as a royal dignitary, we should not get involved in foreign affairs.
Okay.
But secretly, I will accept cash gifts to
choose. Pay me in fufu. So there seems to be a huge debate, but we gotta try it somehow. We gotta compare. I don't know if one is better than the other, but
Should we order fufu, bro?
Well, did you see people were saying Adeyemi needed more fufu because he tore his hamstring yesterday?
Oh,
that's right. I did see that. He in
against Hertha,
in
I think.
Bundesliga, he did get hurt. He did score, though.
He did score.
He scored an unbelievable goal.
Another banger.
The back heel. That was great.
Also, we forgot to mention this. Speaking of, he played for Everton. I want to make sure we didn't forget, so I'm sorry.
Yeah,
rest in peace to Krishnatsu.
Yes.
Absolute shame, horrific, obviously what's going on in both Syria and in Turkey. A lot of people are doing a lot of collections. I've donated. I've shared a few. So if you get a chance, you know, and you have the means to do it, please do. If you don't have the means to help, that's fine. Maybe share it on your social media platforms, and that can help get the word out. But it was an absolute shock to find out that, you know, there was so many stories about him being safe and not, like, there were all these reports. So to find out that he was indeed passed away. And there was a story of, I believe he plays for Hatalspor.
Another player.
But he scored the goal that got them out of the relegation zone the day before the earthquake.
Wow.
And he was his old manager came up to him and thanked him in the press conference, had a big goal, like all the players were jumping on him and for scoring. And for you just never know how quick it can turn. So, rest in peace, Krishna. So sorry to take the tone down, but I wanted to make sure we said it because I know we forgot. Or at least when we found out, I knew I wanted to remember.
I mean, it's awful to see what's going on in Turkey and Syria. So,
horrific.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, let's order fufu we decide. Okay. There's a great jollof truck in Harlem. Not Columbia University area.
Okay.
So Morningside Heights, I guess. And they're well known for their jollof. Maybe they sell fufu, and then we can go to Papaye. In the Bronx, which is like the most famous Ghanaian restaurant in New York.
All right.
Then maybe we can get it there.
Jamal in the chat says, LOL, fufu is fufu. There's no different type of fufu. It's just a great sentence.
Bro, Jamal, what are you talking about? You can't be English and the president of food, dude.
Okay. So
real quick, are you recording?
Recording what?
There?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Because the hard drive's not plugged in. I just noticed. Sorry.
But yeah, we record the show, Alexis. Yeah. Okay.
All right, cool. Because you know what? I was about to hand down a presidential decree that someone was going to get fired, bro.
This is why you're not responsible for
Carlos Ruiz says, Fufu Mukbang. Which, bro, how did you know my high school nickname?
Okay. I mean, we're looking at it. It just, if everybody watching on YouTube, you should get an idea what it looks
there
like.
There it is. It's mofongo, mangu,
yeah.
Fufu cubano.
Lovely.
Ooh, fufu con onion mojo. Let's go, bro.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, Jamal. Cubano's done upgraded Jamil, my G.
Okay, I wanna move on to a bit of a debate, and we should have
This isn't really a debate.
Because
I want everyone to buckle your seatbelt. The three of us are gonna agree with something we don't often agree with.
So if you are in the U.S. and watching the CBS Sports Champions League coverage,
what a great job they do.
Yes, and they there was a I don't remember the guy's name that is making this this point. But essentially, the conversation is now...
Is this Andres Cordero?
No. I don't think so.
Who's Cuban? Did you know that?
Yeah, but Cordero is the announcer, right?
Yeah.
This is not him. Okay. He's like the analyst, but it doesn't matter. The point is, there's a growing conversation, growing debate about the fact that the Premier League is essentially making so much money and now other leagues can't really compete. And there's...
See, this isn't... but go ahead.
I'm just laying out the framework.
I feel like you're framing it incorrectly, though. People are complaining that the Premier League is doing too well. And now they're trying to gang up and change it.
I think it's just simply semantics. The reality is the other leagues are like, y'all got a lot of money. I want some of that money too. That's it.
No, they're like, how do we take them down? What if we join forces? That's what they're trying to do.
So Super League, other stuff. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. But again, we know the attempt at the Super League, the fact that the other leagues see that the Premier League got this incredible television deal. They have so much money coming in. And now, when you look at the transfer window, especially this January transfer window, you saw how much the Premier League spent versus the other leagues. And it really wasn't a comparison.
But how much of that was just Taboli, just boring?
But it is what it is. The other clubs in the other leagues can't really compete with that because they don't have that kind of money. But okay,
hold on. Yeah, let's play this. Okay.
So this was a
conversation. I'm already getting angry.
This
and
was
we
a conversation on CBS. And they were talking about it. So here goes.
A little bit. I know that a lot of people will argue against that, but in any case, it's the feeling abroad that something has to be done, not to stop the Premier League. Well done on them having investors and selling the product better than anybody. No problem with that. It's just that how can all we get close to that? It feels to me the Premier League is just flying away from everyone and it's not...
Well, I'd like to disagree with that because we're talking about a team, namely, you're talking about Real Madrid. This is a team who, for years, have just come to the Premier League and cherry-picked the best players, whoever they want, whether it be Cristiano Ronaldo, Xabi Alonso, my club, Barcelona, taking Mascherano. That's what Real Madrid did. And they've always done that. They've always attracted the best players in the world who've gone there. So notoriously, before what you're talking about has happened in the Premier League right now, Real Madrid had the most money. Mm-hmm. And then it was absolutely fine.
Okay, so that was the first thing. I'm going to have one more clip I want to play, but I want to respond to that.
Can you just go to like the second or third frame when they switch to the side profile shot of this man? Pretty early. Go early. Earlier. Where you started the clip.
I started it right here and at 1:33.
So go to like a few seconds after that.
Oh, crap. It's a little tougher. Okay, I see. There it is.
Yes, okay. Thierry Henry's face is all of us. Look at this man's face. He's saying, what? What you talking about? And by the way, he's one of those guys that Barcelona just came and got from the Premier League, bro.
Exactly.
What you talking about? You've been on top, and now you slip up a little bit, and now you're like, yo, we need to fix this, man. Because I don't know what's happening, but my view doesn't seem as elevated as it previously was.
Oh, and just thank you, Lousy Val, in the chat, just mentioned that is Guillaume Balague. So thank you for clarifying. So he's having a conversation with Jamie Carragher.
He's having a conversation with all of the Champions League coverage folks at CBS, who, again, do an absolutely incredible job.
So the
company company man. And Alexis.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's right. If people didn't see your man on the street.
The man on the street thing. It was fun.
So,
by the way, how many times can I get ghosted, bro? They didn't even put them all in there. They didn't even know it was me, bro. I'm standing right here.
So this particular point, right? Jamie Carragher is simply saying, look, Real Madrid and Barcelona.
No, this was the perfect clapback.
This was like, yo, why are you mad? This is what y'all did for years. Right.
The difference is, and the second part of the clip will get into it, the difference is Real Madrid and Barcelona did whatever they wanted. The Premier League as a unit is now bubbling.
Right.
They're doing it in the Christian president, Christian Polanco way of doing it as a unit, as a group. And that is messing these guys up because they done destroyed their own clubs in their country so that they could pop, so they could win Champions League.
Right. And look, a lot of times people complain about, they always say like promotion relegation. That is like, you know, that's the... You know, the that's the market. That's the way, look, the best teams stay up and the worst teams go down to a lower league. But when you talk about that, they don't talk about it in the sense of financial, especially in La Liga, where we know Barcelona and Real Madrid get more of the money.
They get all of
they
it.
They get all
How
of it.
How about y'all build up your squad? I mean, we talked about this when Cristiano Ronaldo left and Messi left. Was there even a reason to watch La Liga?
Yeah. So the complaint about, you know, the main thing is the hypocrisy seems to be that they love the promotion relegation, but they're okay with a financial disparity amongst the clubs, which is that the Premier League basically says, oh, if we get this TV deal, everybody gets the money.
Everybody gets it evenly. Split.
And the other, I mean, I don't know about how all the other leagues, how it works, but I know in La Liga, Barcelona and Real Madrid get a bigger share.
Yo, like, we're going to negotiate.
Yeah,
because
they're like, nah, y'all ain't us. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Y'all don't have to pay for this yacht. So, we got to pay for this yacht.
So this is the other.
And look, Jamal said Bournemouth has more money than Atletico Madrid. That's because Real Madrid and Barcelona take a bigger cut. That's not because La Liga doesn't make as much money, which they don't make as much money as Premier League. But that's because Premier League's decided, yo, what if every club was at least kind of fun to watch? Right. What if we could share this money across the board so that not everybody was struggling? And bro, this is what happens to your league when only one, when you want to create one or two super teams.
I actually have the numbers for
the
20.
We have the numbers, oh, look, bro.
For the 2021-22 season in La Liga, Real Madrid received 160.6 million euros in revenue. Barcelona received 159.9, compared to the bottom two teams, which were Mallorca and Vallecano, only 45.9 million.
Bro, that's 100 milli.
Bro, big
you
difference.
You keep it over them. That don't happen in the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen.
You need to make up fake sponsors in order to do that.
Okay, look, if you want to listen to the president, the other president of Angola, feel free.
Bro, email info@blangola.gov.
So here goes. Okay, so this is the this is like another 20 seconds, but this is the another piece of that conversation that I wanted to play.
Now, go to a place you where it's no one by the best finances.
You want to go back to when Real Madrid had the most money. You're talking about the Premier League being competitive. Real Madrid and Barcelona don't look after their own clubs in their own league. But you want help off the Premier League. You take all the money from the TV.
I'm not Real Madrid representative or Barcelona representative.
Okay, that was it. But that point by Jamie Carragher. Barcelona and Real Madrid don't even look after the other clubs in their own league. So why are you now... So the question seems to be is, and what people are kind of hinting at is like, Premier League should either share some of the revenue that they get, or let's essentially do a super...
Premier League should share their revenue?
Or essentially, that's kind of like what they're hinting at.
They are hinting that Premier League should send money to La Liga?
So if you pay attention to this this debate, Guillem Balaguer does suggest this. He basically says, look how great it is that the Premier League shares their money across all the clubs to lift the entire league. Why can't you do that for the rest of Europe? And Jamie Carragher is like, why should we do that for the rest of Europe?
Bro, do you have a bleep button? Yo, bro. What?
Yes.
Yo, I dare you. That's like my neighbors coming, knocking on my door and saying, hey, I noticed the iPad you purchased your wife. I was wondering if you could do so for the rest of the building. The speed at which I would slam my door. What?
Right.
No, you don't get that.
Look, and if we're, the only argument anybody should make is like, yo, La Liga, Bundesliga, y'all figure it out. Figure it out. If it's competition, then the free market that everybody loves is speaking. If people are attracted to the Premier League for whatever reason, just like they were attracted to La Liga for years, just like Serie A was completely dominant for decades. You've seen the clip of Zlatan Ibrahimovic talking about English football is a joke. It's just playing in the mud and the players have no class.
The first career rant was about that.
Right. So this is part of the evolution of the game where the dominant league is going to switch from time to time. The Premier League is not going to be the top league forever because maybe there might be something.
No, they up now.
They up now.
And then maybe there's some wunderkind or something that comes through. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. If Germany was smart, right? Germany was smart and said, well, at this point, 13 years ago, something like that.
They said, we ain't doing all that.
Nah, bro. It's too much, fam. I'm going home. Now, they said, like, yo, we need to build up everyone's academies. So we're going to do a rev share so everyone gets an equal amount to build up their academies. And in 10 years, they won the World Cup. I forget if they won the Euros. I believe they also won the Euros. They did, right? At the end of the day, they created almost like a football factory in their country, right? Yeah. If they had done the same thing for developing players for Bundesliga, which, look, they've developed a bunch of players that have gotten sold to teams like Premier League and in the Premier League and in La Liga and other countries. But the point is, they decided to share their money and their league is stronger because of it. Are they as strong as the Premier League? No, and there's a massive disadvantage in everything being in German. Bro, we don't understand your chants, all right? It sounds wild, disrespectful, what you're saying, bro. But you, as La Liga, bro, a lot of this world speaks Spanish. If Bad Bunny making money... Yeah. You can make money.
Okay? And yeah, he deserved that Grammy, bro. How dare
y'all
you
stole the Grammy. Okay. And the
Harry
show.
Styles.
And I
Get
think
out
it's
here.
Stars has a show about reggaeton coming out. Did you know about this?
I didn't know about this.
Guess what? There were none of in the writer's room.
You and I?
Puerto Ricans, bro.
Really?
How you going to do a show about reggaeton and not have just one body in the corner being like an old super? Being like, it wasn't like that, Papa. Just one dude. Yo, shouts to Chris Merck, man. Okay. Chris Mercado, remember your director, Chris Merck? He directed a bunch of comedy specials. He put me onto that. He was like, bro, you believe they didn't have one Boricua in the whole thing? You ain't even got someone from an actual island, bro.
Damn,
nobody,
bro.
Not even from the Bronx.
It's like everybody who works at BET is white.
Yeah. I know, right?
This doesn't make sense.
Yo, not one of y'all? Not one of y'all got some sauce?
Oh,
man,
my God.
Disrespectful. There's no, bro, Evie Queen didn't stop by the water cooler.
Okay. All right. Look, now I'm glad you told me this because I needed a new thing to be upset about.
All right.
I needed it.
On this President's Day, you're going to ruin our day. We work so hard for it. So, look, people saying La Liga is trash. Guess who that was? That's Jamal. Hey, don't disrespect Harry Styles. Again, Jamal, you out of the writer's room for the reggaeton show.
Robin Tagini, I like her point. She says, that makes absolutely no sense. La Liga should help itself, not ask another league to help them. But look, think if La Liga shared revenue evenly amongst all the teams, how great would that be? I mean, I think it would be such a huge lift to the entire league because at some point...
It would take a minute. It would take a... There would be a little bit of a hump there, for sure.
There would clearly be, you know, not every player going to Real Madrid or Barcelona.
No.
The rosters wouldn't be as stacked. They wouldn't win every single year.
You cannot have super teams. And I know Manchester City has won more years than not, but it's way more of a competitive league than La Liga has been in the past.
Yeah.
You can't have three big teams and really have it be two that are making the most of the money.
And
it,
and when you think of it in a larger picture, as far as the supporters culture and you know, there's supporters bars for every Premier League team, even this, and even clubs in the Championship. In the U.S., you can find...
In New York alone, there was a Stoke City bar, bro.
Right, right. But what? if I need to find...
There ain't a Stoke City bar in Stoke City!
But if I need to find an Elche supporters bar, do you know how difficult that will
you
be?
You gotta be at a dude's house.
Okay.
You're going to a dude's house in Westchester,
where
bro.
Am I gonna find the Cadiz fans?
Yeah.
All right.
If I wanna see Rayo Vallecano with my peoples, you know where I gotta go? I gotta go to a Rayo Vallecano game, bro.
It's a little bit more challenging.
I gotta go to JFK.
Okay.
It ain't as easy.
So that's the main thing, is that you when there's competition amongst all the clubs in that league, there's a better opportunity for a more global support, global fan base, and things like that. It's like, even again, clubs like, you know, there's West Ham bars, there's Leeds bars, there's Sunderland, there's everything,
bro. Every club.
So
Fulham bars.
When it comes to the clubs in England, there's at least some brand recognition that Americans kind of have. And that, I think that just speaks to the fact that there's at least some opportunity. Yes, it is very difficult for, you know, to have a Leicester City every single year.
Right.
But there's at least an opportunity to at least like slightly hope for the first 2-3 weeks, and it can develop at least somebody caring about the club,
right,
and supporting it and not living in that city. And that's why La Liga, I think, kind of struggles with, realistically, of
right.
just like from. I mean, we know billions of, I mean, obviously exaggerating, but Real Madrid and Barcelona fans. I mean, that's always, the brand is just incredibly strong. But there should be a little bit more of that. There should be more of that support for other clubs in La Liga. And that's just, it's a shame that it isn't. But I do think the you know, if they did share revenue, I think that's a stronger possibility.
But you also see it, man. You ain't getting that guap for the TV rights. You ain't getting a big old bag like Premier League got. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You had, people aren't interested. I mean, people are naming teams. Deportivo, Celta de Vigo. What was the other one that I saw?
So,
Gran Canaria, Las Palmas.
But so look.
People aren't really chatting about these clubs. There's more conversation about Burnley
right.
in the Championship than there is about Celta de Vigo.
So, but Kevin just said also the English-speaking, England, obviously, the English-speaking leagues might have a bigger advantage. But I am a Spanish speaker,
and
I'm around other Latinos, and even other Latinos don't immediately connect with other clubs in La Liga outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Because they're the colonizers.
Have
we not talked about this?
It just speaks to the point that it isn't simply about speaking the language. So knowing the language is not enough.
There are more Boca Juniors bars in New York City than there are for clubs outside of the top three in La Liga. If that doesn't tell you that there's an available fan base that speaks the language and understands what the hell y'all yelling, and we're two of them, Okay? And y'all ain't taking advantage of that. That goes to show y'all need to get your money up. Don't stop begging door to door, selling them chocolates for a dollar, trying to get your money up.
I love, Jamal just said, the Burnley Bar, everyone has to be eating stones and cigarettes. Bro.
The man who runs the Burnley Bar got a shrine to Nigel Farage.
Is that the Prime Minister?
Brexit guy. It's the Brexit guy.
Oh, the Brexit guy. Yeah. Oh, hilarious.
Yo, Burnley, wow, right? We don't want to go there, bro. I ain't trying to go to Turf Moor, man.
Okay. Carlos Ruiz said, all the Spanish speakers only give a damn about Madrid, Barca, and some weirdos Atletico. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame that they
bro,
they,
I wanted to be a Real Betis fan. We can't even find the jerseys,
yeah,
remember?
They're hard to find. I mean, I've been following.
This is what I'm talking about, bro. Y'all ain't making. You need us, bro. You need us to show you how to make money.
All right. Look at this. All right. Bro. The president of Blangola. Tell me.
Bro, I can multitask. I think it's a part time job, dude.
But, look, I've been following Girona more because obviously Tati and Alexander Collins. So I'm like looking at the results. I try to watch highlights, try to watch some games. But it's like, you know, I never, the first game I ever saw was Real Madrid when they played in Giant Stadium.
Batistuta, the whole
game. Right, there was Real Madrid against Roma. And I saw Figo, I saw Roberto Carlos, I saw Zidane. That was my first game. But I didn't like, oh man, I love Real Madrid. And I'm like, that wasn't it. I'm like, I still want to connect deeply with a La Liga club, but I don't know. I need that kind of...
The teddy bears does it for me. But it's too hard of a hurdle to jump. There's so much more soccer more readily available.
So, at the end of the day, look, the request can't be, this is all a veil for, you know, people saying like, oh, the Premier League should figure out ways to uplift the other leagues. And it's all they're really asking for is a Super League. That's all they're saying. They're just saying like, yo, the money's there. Y'all have figured out on a business
to
scale it and everything.
To their credit, a Super League does usurp a Premier League.
Right.
For sure.
And it usurps the La Liga, it usurps Bundesliga. It does everything.
Yeah, but they're all co-signing that. But this, if you want to compete with Premier League, this is what you do. The other thing you could do is, yo, you could do an OTT, over-the-top network.
Okay.
For every other league except Premier League, you could do that.
Oh, meaning like join forces.
Y'all join forces.
The giant that is Premier League.
Yeah. Why don't y'all create your own Champions League and say like, yo, we'll all play each other for the real champions of Europe without those guys who Brexited. Like, there's other things you could do. I'm a money guy, bro. You know what else La Liga didn't do? Hire the Cooligans. You've messed up every step of the way. This is your fault. It's your fault.
Wow, okay. Is this our interview?
Now it is. It's our exit interview, bro.
So, look, at the end of the day, look,
Doug said, oh, God, here comes economics with Alexis.
I don't feel bad for the other leagues that are not making as much money as the Premier League. That's my main stance. I'm not poor any other league. Like,
because they made money way bigger than Premier League in the past. Premier League just got their shit together.
Right, right. That's it. I mean, and whatever it was to simply, look, there's been a lot of decisions. Obviously, creating the Premier League and then just highlighting certain players, telling certain stories. Maybe there is the advantage of, that it's an English language league first or whatever. But overall, I haven't been to Spain, but we've been to Germany and been to other.
You've been to Spain.
I've never been to Spain.
No, I thought you have.
I've been to Italy, but I've never been to Spain.
That's not the same country.
I know. I'm saying.
I've been to that other part.
I'm just saying, but we've
been to Spain. I've been to Spain twice. Beautiful country.
But I've seen football in other countries.
Can't believe you guys took over all of our lands after meeting us.
But we've seen football in other countries, and the one thing I appreciate is the unique identity that every country has to showcase the game. The game is the same all over the world, but everybody has to figure out their own.
Everyone gets a little spin on it.
Yeah, to make it unique and make sure one that every seat is filled at every game. So you're really making it an important part of the culture of that particular city and that country. So it's like you want to, they want to succeed in their own countries. And then as soon as you are saying like, all right, now Champions League and, you know, now you're talking about the other leagues. Now it's like, now you want money from the rest of the world to be interested in your league. And then that's where the competition is. The eyeballs that you get.
You can't have your hand out asking for it.
You right.
Can't.
You got to do the work.
Yeah. You can't. Especially when you allow two and a half teams in your country to take over and handle most of it and, you know, take most of the shine. What happens is you lose your golden goose, you lose your Messi, you lose your Ronaldo. Now what? And guess what? When they get Mbappe in a year or two and they start making all this money, they're not all of a sudden going to be wanting to share with anybody anymore. But you want people to share with you?
Right.
Get out of here.
I'm also curious, what is La Liga? Because I just looked it up. La Liga had a $1.4 billion deal with ESPN just for TV rights in America. Like, what are they doing with that money?
They're giving it to Real Madrid.
Yeah, I guess it's just them.
That's the issue. Yeah. I mean, it's not that they're not making no money, but look at the Premier League deal was $6 billion.
Yeah.
So
just here.
That's from...
And that wasn't even the biggest offer. I think they ended up just taking the NBC offer, but I heard there was a larger offer on the table.
Okay.
How much? When are we going to get some of this money, bro?
So it's a, there's obviously a ton of money in the Premier League, but it's on, you know, the other leagues, the other top five leagues in Europe to figure it out. I mean, nobody's going to feel sympathy for any of them.
Cut the corruption. Yo, start like looking at your books, figuring out how to share your money, and build up some of these squads that are on the lower half of the table, and so that, you know, things look better when people are watching. If a random fan, JF Harris, who we talked about at the beginning of the show, wasn't a soccer fan until the World Cup, now wants to be an Arsenal fan, just started watching All or Nothing, became a massive fan, and first thing he said was, I'm going to be in New York, I think I can get off the boat early enough, I want to come see the game with you. This is someone who's becoming a fan. If the first game that man saw was Cadiz versus Elche, that dude's going to be like, nah, maybe the World Cup. Maybe I'm just an every 4 year kind of a guy, you know?
Look, who knows? I mean, it's not to say, and you know, I like saying those team names because they're fun to say. But, yeah.
But you get what I'm saying.
But I do, yeah.
It ain't the same level.
Right. Okay. All right. Anything else before
we... Nice go, Bruce. La Liga needs Tam ASAP.
I don't even know what I just did.
Whoa, dude. This was like, you just made a YouTube edit.
No, I don't know if you wanted to react to this because we didn't talk about it before, but this is simply, somebody tagged us in it, Sunny SoCal Rob, who I don't know if they're in the chat right now, but basically there is a thread.
Whatever happened to the SOCL?
Andrew.
Drew, yeah.
Yeah, SOCL, I don't know. Drew. I assume he's still in Manchester doing his thing. Yeah. But... this is a thread. We can react to it real quick. I don't know what...
I've had Pizza Express before.
But this is a thread on Twitter of this, and it says it's from Retro Shirts FC. It says, the strangest and quite possibly best man of the match awards ever received in football. So usually when you give a man of the match for any particular game, you saw this at the World Cup, the Budweiser had a weird trophy type
Nobody
thing.
Nobody was happy holding it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're Coors Light people. If it was a Coors Light game, maybe.
Exactly.
Was it in the Premier League? You get what looks like a large cologne.
Right. Yeah. Okay. A nice eau de toilette type thing.
Yeah.
But so this is, we have it on the screen, so people listening may not know exactly what we're referring to.
I can explain it to you if you want.
But so Connor Salmon, and it says a Pizza Express pizza. So he was awarded man of the match. You could see he's like filthy. His head is covered in dirt. And he's opening a pizza. Because
he doesn't look upset or happy that he's getting a pizza.
But he is was awarded a pizza.
Do you want to click on that pizza and zoom in? Because what you're going to see... is you're going to see sort of like a darkened line around the edges, which we've talked about this many times. You see on the edges?
Yes.
Do you know what that means?
I have no idea what it means.
That means this pizza has been rolled out or sheeted.
Right. It's
been run through a sheeter.
I've heard you say that before, yes.
So the reason that is because when you compress it that way, it creates that defined edge. Not terrible. You could see in the part where it's curled up, like this will have that crispy cracker crust. Not too dissimilar to a Staten Island style pizza. The difference is the dough is much better on a Staten Island style pizza, and they do this by hand. Sauce and cheese to the edges.
I love this.
The sauce is cooked. This was a cook sauce.
Hey, DraftKings is in the chat.
Hey, come on, DraftKings.
Let's go. Shout out Cooligans. Let's go, DraftKings.
All bro, right. We're doing a little pizza breakdown. buckle up. So if you look, you can see the sauce. First of all, this gets cooked for a very long time because this sauce is heavily reduced. Either that or it's a very watery sauce.
Also, just to reiterate, this is one of the worst looking pizzas I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't great. And the reason I'm going to say it's not great is it looks like there's like... Like halal meat on top.
It's bacon? It looks like bacon.
Bacon, look at the stripes are going the wrong way. The bacon, this could be turkey bacon.
This looks like, you know, when you
see... But it's full strips.
Right. It looks like when you see a tire that exploded on the highway. You know what I mean? Like, this is that's what the bacon looks like.
P. Morton said, this is bacon and real mozzarella. Look, real mozzarella. Hilarious. What's wrong with me? Here's the thing. This isn't fresh mozzarella. Fresh mozzarella melts when attached to heat or put in heat. This is not melted. This looks like some type of goat cheese that has been scooped on post-bake. There's some mozzarella maybe on here. I can't tell. There is mozzarella. You can kind of see it in between the spaces. The bacon, though, this isn't bacon. This is the meat that's cut from the trompo.
Okay, like when you go to a halal place.
No, this is bacon.
No, that isn't bacon, though. That looks like bacon.
This is insane. The stripes are going the wrong way.
What's the right way that the stripes are going?
See that piece up top by the circle? The stripes should be going laterally, not across. You can't cut bacon that way. It's not built that way.
Okay.
That's confused. How do y'all ruin bacon, bro?
Jamal says this pizza was made in Burnley.
Yeah. This pizza feels like it doesn't like Christian and I. It only doesn't like me after they found out my name. Do you get what I'm saying?
Incredible.
But DraftKings called this the McTominay of pizza. Bro, really is, because it's confusing.
Man.
It probably tastes better in its own nation.
I think we need a DraftKings prop bet on how this pizza tastes.
Bro.
Wow.
Parlay this pizza to a bathroom visit. That's why he looks like this.
This man is miserable.
This is the pizza I would be expected to be given if I failed at something.
Okay.
Z the Mushmouth. Said, thank you for the super chat, by the way. Said, Buffalo pizza is better than any slice in New York City surrounding area. Hilarious. Hilarious. Well, you like fluffy, cushiony pizza? Bro, how about this? How about you brush your teeth a couple times? You can actually chew through a regular slice. Buffalo pizza.
Okay. We'll go very quickly through some of the other ones. The Burger King crown, that was one of the Man of Match awards. They literally, plastic.
That's a river plate.
That is River Plate. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Franco Armani. And then Stephen Glass got a mountain bike.
With a Coca-Cola sign as a back wheel. Pretty dope.
This is a great one,
too. This is my favorite. This is crazy.
This is Lomfo Kekana. Got 5 gigabytes of mobile phone data. He
which
got a
he
giant...
could use to call his agent and get him out of this league, bro.
Bro, 5 gigabytes?
I mean, bro, you need to go, my guy.
I don't know what year this was awarded, but at some point, this was a big deal. To get 5 gigabytes
this
for
is like
free?
Being handed an AOL CD, bro. You need to use that data to get him out that league, bro.
I don't know what team he plays for.
Sundowns in South Africa, I think.
Oh, wow.
Sundowns is South Africa. Is this the Sundowns?
I believe so.
Yeah.
This is one of the big teams in South Africa.
I mean, there's almost no era where they couldn't come up with a better reward. Because 5 gigabytes. My 5 gigabytes... 15 years ago, it's probably lasting you like a month and a half.
Bro,
it was pretty good.
A lot of digitized, adult films.
Okay. This is a Zimbabwe Premier League Soccer League. You just got 24 beers.
Okay. You partying now. You know what sucks about this? You go back to the locker room and now you gotta share this now.
Hilarious. Gornik Zabrze, I don't know how to say his name, but it says the reward for man of the match was a live chicken in a metal crate.
Let's go, dude. Bro. Now we're partying.
Is it a pet? Is it a meal? You decide.
Yeah. Yo, let your kids figure it out.
Okay. Do they fall in love with the animal? Yeah, you know what? You might keep it for a couple more months.
You know what tastes better than your friendship? Wings.
Okay. This next one is the Super League of Malawi. Another, a live chicken.
In a cardboard box.
In a cardboard box.
So they've made the decision for you, not a pet.
I hope they poked holes at the very least. Be kinder to those chickens. Okay. The Sudan Premier League. A jug of oil.
This is car oil,
like,
by the way.
Like car motor oil.
Bro. Just from the look of a jersey alone, this dude ain't got no car, bro. You ain't affording a car.
This is remarkable. I mean, maybe in a Sunday league, I get it. But you can't be a professional player again.
This was a... Dude, just go get something from your trunk, dude. We forgot.
They forgot the gift. And somebody.
We forgot the gift, bro. I got an umbrella and a jug of oil. Give me the jug of oil.
Next
dude.
One is going to be a can of gasoline that we siphoned from a bus nearby.
And unfortunately, it was your car. So we're just giving you back your gas, dude.
I'm going to steal his catalytic converter and then give it back to him.
Oh, my God. This next one. George Malueka got 2,000. South African rand, so like a gift card.
Yeah, he got a big old gift card.
He got a big old gift card with 2,000 rand.
But you better hide that number.
All right,
don't want nobody stealing it.
Zach Williams got.
This is by far the worst.
This obviously in the UK somewhere. It looks like Scotland. I can't exactly tell.
This looks like Scotland.
But he got Jaffa cakes and Walker's crisps.
Dude, Jaffa cakes are horrific. Chocolate and orange do not go together, bro.
Right, yeah, we've talked about Jaffa Cakes a little bit.
This man was on 5-pound munch. That was his celebration.
Bro, the Ghana Premier League Dreams FC, their man of the match was awarded a pair of Adidas slides.
Yeah, in Europe, they call them sliders.
Okay.
Makes no sense.
But they could do a little bit better. Even I would take a card from the coach. Maybe real nice.
Not bad. Give me the shirt the coach got on, bro. That looked funky.
Carlisle United was awarded, man of the match was awarded a curry.
He just got a concession stand food.
This is incredible. Somebody said a chopped cheese would be a great man of the match award.
Bro, this is... No.
This is Emma Byrne.
Got a cooler for place, and flowers.
For place for Arsenal. But we've seen this. This has been a common thing in women's football and women's soccer.
This is back in the day.
Back in the day. Like the
they don't come up.
The Bethany Balser won Rookie of the Year for NWSL. She
was Starbucks gift card, right?
Chipotle.
Chipotle
gift card. She got a $50 Chipotle gift card, which, all right, look, there's a lot of problems. It shouldn't be happening in 2021, I think, where she won it, 2022.
No.
Anyway.
But because she was so vocal about it, it started to change.
It's getting better. All right. But Emma Byrne did get flowers and a cooler.
Now it's a Sweet Green gift card. No, they're doing big things.
Damn, how many of these are? Lautaro Acosta got a grill and an apron, but this is
Hold on, this is a good one. Yeah, this is in Argentina.
This is in Argentina.
Getting a grill in Argentina, that's like being handed a car on your 16th birthday.
Okay. This is an asado man of the match.
Yeah. No, he earned it. And let me tell you something, I'm jealous.
Yeah, this is not, there's no jokes here. This is a great.
In fact, we can see his face. For those of you listening, he's smiling real big. He's enjoying it. Can you scroll up to the guy who got the curry again? Just so we can take a look at my guy's face.
Man, okay. This is not.
This is what happens when you get English food, bro.
The second guy smiling a little bit more.
But I think because he shared the curry.
So, okay, let's see how many of these are left. This was Saeed Benrahma, who plays at West Ham, I believe, right now.
Brentford there. This is the Carabao Cup man of the match. He got a copy of Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time.
for PS4.
What?
Not bad.
Come on, Carabao Cup. They got to do better than that, bro. Crash Bandicoot. Budget, bro.
That was the last one. Not bad. I would have taken, Last of Us or something.
What about FIFA? I feel like it's a perfect time. Yeah.
The branding is right there.
We got to up the budget, bro.
Okay.
Who knew the pizza would be the best thing or the second best thing? Because the asado is great.
Mm. Okay, well, thank you to I believe it was Rob who sent that to us. And it was thank you for creating content for the show. We
tag us on more crazy stuff.
Yeah,
we love it.
We love it. Y'all, the absolute best. Anything else before we wrap up? We'll obviously be back tomorrow to do a couple things. Obviously, the all the MLS kits have dropped. We could react to some of those. MLS on Apple TV has already started.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, the quality is incredible.
It's crazy.
Yeah, just watching an MLS game in like 4K.
Yeah,
is it feels weird. I'm like, I ain't used to.
Here's how I found out. That's how I found out. I didn't have a 4K TV. I got one of them UHD TV. It doesn't do the 2180, whatever it is. It does like the 1650 or something.
It's like it like digitizes the higher quality.
It goes halfway to 4K. It's 3K. I got 3K TV, bro.
My man, caught out here in 3K.
Damn, son. I thought I was in, but nah, I'm in line at the club, bro.
So a lot to go over tomorrow, especially with MLS starting up this weekend. All right. Y'all the absolute best. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on Instagram, Twitter,
shouts
TikTok.
To what DraftKings said. Hey, keep an eye on the DK YouTube for more Cooligans content.
There we go. We love DraftKings. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, bro. DraftKings, you know what? Thank you for betting on us.
Okay. Bam, 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 bam.
Beautiful. Okay. So
if you were here, DraftKings, we'd hand you a curry.
Okay. It's the least we could do. Y'all, the absolute best. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good President's Day or whatever.
Today's President. Maybe I'll go get a 4K TV.
It's good. It's a good time. And shout out to Mike Malley, our producer, crushing it once again.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely deserved it.
All right. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.